You're listening to Make Your Way, Season 4, Episode 6. Welcome to Make Your Way, where we explore what it means to work and create on your own terms. Along with every episode, we post show notes with links to resources mentioned in the episode and a full transcript. You can find these materials at katielinder.work/podcasts.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited to talk about intentional growth and planning for growth in our businesses.
Yes. It's always a good topic to be thinking about. How are we growing and what are we growing and how do we plant the seeds for more growing and all of the growing?
Yes.
So I'm curious, Katie, if you could talk a little bit about what's your approach to growth? How do you think about growth for your business in general and what things are kind of on your radar right now?
So when we first started talking about this topic, we put in that intentional word in there, intentional growth. And I feel like that is something that is very much on my mind. I do not want to be in a situation where there's like an explosion of growth in my business and I have to deal with it and I'm unprepared for it. I don't want to have to hire staff. Like that's something that I've been pretty careful about in terms of just, I mean, it may seem like I add a lot of things to my business relatively quickly, but I do it very intentionally so that I am not being overwhelmed. So from the outside, I think it might seem like I'm constantly doing more things, but there is a plan for sure of when things get added in. So I think when I think about growth, I definitely tie it to revenue more than like size of my business. And especially as I have experimented with more offerings and different kinds of offerings and services, I've wanted to think about even like consolidation of certain things, you know, like that. Sometimes I think consolidation is how you have intentional growth, or like niching into particular areas is how you have intentional growth. So I would say even in this past year, the rebrand I did on my website around radical self-trust, that was a very intentional part of the growth of my business and thinking about how I want to be using that as a cornerstone to talk about my coaching packages, to frame some of the things I do with my writing groups and stuff around that radical self-trust. And immediately I saw people signing up for coaching and saying, like, I was drawn to this in particular, and this is why I decided to work with you as a coach. So I think that, I guess one of the things I want to throw out there is I think sometimes intentional growth comes from doing from like what on the outside looks to be the opposite, like limiting your services or, you know, niching your services or products. That can be a way of planning for growth and making sure that you actually have the time and energy and attention to give to those things so that you can do better marketing. Like, you know, if you're marketing two things versus trying to market 12, you may have better growth with those two things than you would if you're spreading your energy out over 12. So that's what I've been thinking a lot about this recently. What do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I think you're right that growth is it means different things to different people, and I like that you raised again the question of, you know, staff. Do I hire new people? Do I try to expand that way? And being pretty clear to yourself and to your business that like that's not what you want out of this. And I think in a lot of ways there are very specific sort of models for growth that you're, you know, kind of by default compare yourself to. And one of them is, you know, when can you hire your first staff person, right? And I think for both of us, that's not really the goal. Like I might subcontract for some stuff, but I'm not looking to hire another me, really. Though it would be handy for productivity purposes. But in terms of the size of the businesses that we both want, we want to keep them small. And so how do you do that? How do you grow things sustainably? And in a way that works and create the systems to make that work. And some of that is about stepping back a little bit, but stepping back only so that you can kind of step forward, right? Like that the goal is to grow in a particular way and be thoughtful about that and have learned from the things that you've done before, the failures that you've had and the setbacks and those sorts of things, and kind of reformulate things and move forward intentionally. So I'm curious what new areas you're kind of diving into now. Are there things in particular that you're intentionally focusing on?
So I think this, as I kind of talked about in our 2019 goals and intentions episode, so if you haven't listened to that, swing back around to the beginning of the season. I think I'm really trying to kind of sustain and strengthen what's already here. I have a couple new offerings I'm probably going to be offering in 2019, but around things that people would be familiar with. And Prolific, as we've already talked about on the show, is something that was kind of newly launched at the end of 18 that will continue into 2019. And that's my community for academic writers. But I would also say that I definitely will be doing something with radical self-trust and coaching this year. I'm just not entirely sure what that looks like yet. But I think that, you know, I've been thinking about how goals get tied in with kind of what you're willing to do in terms of tactics for your business. I think about, for example, I was listening to a podcast episode a while ago, and it was somebody who had a seven-figure business, and it was an online business. So they did like webinars and courses and things like that. But they were shelling out tens of thousands of dollars in Facebook ad revenue to get that business. They were really marketing to, you know, specific audiences in their community. But at the same time, you know, like when I was looking at that, and they had a large staff, you know, that, I mean, if you have a seven-figure business, it doesn't come out of nothing. You know, it's not one person usually sitting behind a computer. There's a team and there's strategy there. But when I was listening to her talk about this, you know, I thought, that's definitely not what I want. I definitely don't want to be paying out thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars in ad revenue to be bringing people into something. I much prefer slow, steady growth. And that probably tells you something about like where I'm investing my retirement income and, you know, like all those kinds of things. Like it's probably something about my personality. Like there are certain areas I'm willing to take risks in, but this also comes back to like why I still have a full-time job. Like this is not an area that I'm willing to kind of like throw all my eggs in this basket and kind of see how it goes. So I think that, you know, just thinking about my plans for the future, I almost feel like in some ways, like I wouldn't say I'm like putting the brakes on, but I definitely feel like I am really trying to grow what already exists. Whereas a year or two ago, I was very invested in like creating new stuff. And so it's, and also I think really strengthening the marketing strategy that I've put into place, which is really the podcast, my mailing list, you know, ways of interacting with what is to some people a relatively small audience, but the importance of building trust with that audience is huge for how people choose to work with me and how they choose to recommend my work to other people. And I think that's hugely impacted by the fact that we both work with academics, you know, and you work with groups outside of that. But my my primary audience is academics who are highly skeptical as a group. And so I think that that's a big piece of what I'm doing is building that trust. So I don't know if that fully answers your question, but I mean, I think that part of what I'm really thinking about this year is intentional growth of what's already there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I know, Katie, one of the things that you've talked about, I think previously on the show here is a little bit of thinking about the metrics that you're using for growth.
Yeah.
So, and in terms of your business expenses and some of those sorts of things, recalibrating a little bit of that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this year in particular, and I think I mentioned on a previous episode, we record these sometimes out of order. So if not, it's coming in the
future.
It's
coming, if not.
it's coming. I think I mentioned on a previous episode that I'm very close as we record this to ending the kind of calendar fiscal year for my business and to hitting what I was hoping to hit this year in terms of revenue, which was six figures. And that has really been a huge milestone for this business. And I was aiming for it. Like I planned all year to try to make it happen. And I put a lot of structures into place to see if I could hit that milestone. But that's absolutely on my mind as I go into this next year and thinking about, it's really helpful for me to break down my metrics into quarters and months so that I'm tracking what kind of income is coming in. But even more than that, to say, so let's say, you know, per quarter income, you know, if you're trying to hit six figures, roughly $25,000, you're just dividing that number by four. But what does that actually mean of what you're doing in your business to get that money? Like how much of that, how many coaching clients does that represent for me? How many website clients does that represent? How many speaking engagements does that represent? How many writing group members do I need to hit? How much revenue and course sales would that represent? And First of all, I think breaking it down in that way, for me, because I've diversified my revenue so much, actually makes it feel more achievable. Mm-hmm. And some people might hear me listing all those things and being like, well, of course you can hit that number. Like, look at all these things that you're doing. Like, I mean, some people might think that six-figure number is quite low given the mm-hmm. number of services and products that I offer. And maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really in that comparison game right now. But I think that breaking that down has been really helpful for me to be realistic mm-hmm. about, let's say I just throw out a number and I'm like, well, this year I want to try to hit 150,000. And I want to try to up that by a significant amount. I have to go into my metrics and say, okay, that would be how many more coaching clients? And do I have the time for yeah. more coaching clients? How many more speaking engagements? And do I have the vacation time to take to do those speaking engagements? The way I've calculated my numbers now is basically 2 speaking clients a quarter. And now that's roughly what I'm doing. Like yeah. it's, so it allows me to kind of look in a very realistic way. And I think that when you do this intentional growth and planning for growth, you're not just throwing out numbers and saying, I want a $200,000 a year and not mm-hmm. really knowing what that means and whether or not you actually have the time and the systems and the scalability that would allow that to happen. And at some point, you know, I will hit a limit of I can't take on more coaching clients, or I can't, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have the time, because a lot of these services are me. It's time with me. It's me designing your website. It's me doing the speaking engagement. And you'll hit a limit for that. So, right. I mean, that to me, I think is actually the really important part about those metrics is, do you actually have the time to fulfill what you're mm-hmm. saying you would need to fulfill in order to hit those numbers? Right now, I do. And especially if I can sell some of the more passive income stuff or some of the stuff that is meant to be scalable, like Prolific memberships, you know, like mm-hmm. my engagement with Prolific doesn't necessarily change when I have more members in there. Mm-hmm. The time amount may go up slightly, but I'm still posting the same stuff. I'm still hosting mm-hmm. the same events. So that's, I think, the part that I think really carefully about mm-hmm. is when is it, you know, when am I going to hit that point when, you know, my time is all taken up. And so far I haven't hit it. I feel like I'm yeah. at a very comfortable place where I'm not working all the time. You know, like I've been able to find a little bit of a balance mm-hmm. with how this works. But what, I mean, I'm really curious, Sarah, what you're thinking about this, because I know this year you're pulling back a little bit to mm-hmm. focus on other areas of your business. But I also know you're laying the groundwork for things you're hoping to do in the future. When you're planning for growth or thinking about intentional growth, you, as you can hear, I really tie it into revenue. Like that's what mm-hmm. growth means to me. Mm-hmm. What does growth mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. and as you said, things are a little bit uncertain. And so it's always a little hard to plan when you're not entirely sure what's coming down the line. Not that we ever really are, let's be honest. But I think for me this year, is really focusing on the projects and things that I can control. And growing in some ways that make sense and that I can kind of fit in around other things that may come up and require my time and attention from time to time throughout the year. So for me, there are a couple of different areas that I'm really kind of focusing on. One of which is the Honestly series, which I know we've talked about previously. And you know, as we're recording this, it's kind of the end of 2018, and I'm spending a lot of time now writing content and creating stuff so that I can begin really releasing a lot of that in earnest in the next little while here, and really get things ramping up and growing in that way in a sustainable way and in a way that makes sense for me. I used to be the kind of creator who would write and film and edit and produce a video, in a day or two. And I've realized that in order for me to continue to grow other parts of my business, that's not the way that I can continue to create. It's not the way that I can do that sustainably. And so I've been working really hard on how do I build in more consistency in my writing practice, especially. And so for me, growth looks like growing some systems that work, and some routines that will kind of help me along the way. Katie and I talked a little bit about this before we press record, but I was reflecting on the reality that humans actually really thrive under a little bit of routine. Who knew? and so I've been finding that instituting a little bit more routine into my life has actually helped. But it also doesn't minimize my ability to be flexible within that routine. And so I'm finding new ways to create and new ways to kind of take things on and make new stuff in a way that I think will be more sustainable long term and less susceptible to kind of the ebbs and flows of the chaos of life when it decides to be chaotic. And so that's feeling really good and feeling like I'm kind of building a foundation. So for me, growth this year, I think, is really focused on this idea of systems and of routine and building some foundational things that will carry me through those ebbs and flows. And in this last year, I hadn't really had the opportunity to do that. And so when big things hit, I didn't have a lot of content in the can that I could just, you know, continue to pump out. And so that was kind of why I had to really take a step back. But in other areas of my business too, I'm thinking a lot more about speaking and a lot more about consulting and the balance between those two. And for me, intentional growth, I think, also means stepping back on the speaking a little bit, because that's, again, one of those things that I have less control over. with a consulting client, with consulting gigs, I have more flexibility and more sort of ownership in how and when the work gets done. Whereas with speaking, you have to be there at a particular time and place and all of that sort of thing. So I like speaking. I'm not against speaking, and I will continue to do some speaking, I'm sure. But being really thoughtful about what, like you said, Katie, what are the goals for that, and how many do I want to kind of max out on for the year, and what are my limits in terms of travel time or all of those kinds of considerations that I want to build in a little bit. And thinking about how to do speaking in more online spaces, right? And do things in a way that, whether it's webinars or other kinds of things, where I can be offering this content in ways that make it easier for me and easier for my potential clients too. So I'm really kind of playing with the ideas around, you know, how do I do this more in a online space? And how do I make sure that the gigs that I am taking are things that I really want to be taking, and less about the pull of money in a way, right? Like, mm-hmm. less about, oh, I need another, you know, speaking gig because I need to pay the bills. What are the other passive income sources that I have more control over that I can build in the background to make some of those other engagements less necessary, I guess? So that's kind of where my head is in terms of growth and thinking about what do I want this to look like, and how do I do this in a more sort of systematic way. So, yeah, I don't know. That's where I am.
Okay, so I'm curious because I feel like one strategy for growth that mm-hmm. people don't always think about, I think, as a strategy for growth, but it's tied to what you're saying about kind of pulling back, mm-hmm. is raising your rates. Mm-hmm. So you decide, yep. I'm going to do less speaking, but it's going to be more expensive, yep. for people, yep. who want me to come out. And yep. it's a little bit of a, you know, like a strategy around scarcity, like that, mm-hmm. you just don't do it very much. And so if, yep. somebody wants you, they're going to have to pay for it. But I also think about this in light of, like, I will probably be raising my coaching rates in 2019, mm-hmm. in part because of, it's a reflection of the fact that I will be certified at that point. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. I have gone through this process of going through exams and testing, and I have logged a certain number of coaching hours, and I've kind of invested in that as part, mm-hmm. of my professional development. And so that will impact my rates. Not a lot, mm-hmm. but a little bit. So I'm wondering if you've thought about that. And I can't remember, honestly, Sarah, if we've talked about this on the show. I'd be surprised if we haven't. Mm-hmm. But at what point are you deciding you want to adjust your rates? You know, if you are kind of lowering the amount of things you're doing, are you, right. bumping up what people are paying for them?
Yeah, no, I have been thinking about that. And I had an inquiry come in the other day that was asking about it. And I was like, I mean, I could do it for that. And then I was like, wait a minute. No, like, if you're like, I could do it, then no, you're not charging enough. Charge more. So there were, like, what would it be, you know, what would make it worth my while? And I think that number is changing. And I think that is shifting, as it should, right?
You should, right. always be, it's a very natural thing. This is why I, exactly. want to talk about it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and with the start of the new year, that there's sort of a natural point at which to do that. And, you know, this gig I think would be in the new year, so that would be fine. But yeah, I have definitely been thinking about that and also about the ability to offer other options, comfortably. So, for example, there was a speaking gig I did, at the end of the summer that I went, you know, I traveled and I did this presentation, but they had also asked for 2 follow-up webinars, about a month later. And that was actually a really interesting way of doing things and worked pretty well. And so having done that, having tried that when I previously hadn't really done it that way before, has kind of given me the thought of like, okay, I could offer that as a package. And I got feedback that was really well received and people enjoyed it and had, you know, learned a lot and got a lot out of it. So what are the other options that I can start offering that are, you know, maybe for a potential speaking client where, you know, they're going to charge, you know, I want to charge a rate that they can't afford. What are the other things I can offer instead at right. a lower rate that they could afford, but that don't require me to travel or don't require as much time and investment from me in the same way? And so I am toying with some of that. And I'm thinking a lot about, specifically with speaking, how do I restructure my website a little bit to communicate about that, about these other options that I offer? Because I don't think I'm very clear about that. I need to be clearer about that. So maybe if you check out my speaking page now, you'll see a whole different layout by the time this actually goes to air. So we'll see. But there have been things like that I've been thinking about not only adjusting my own services, but thinking about how do I talk about it, right? And we've mm-hmm. talked about this before on the show. People don't know what you don't tell them. And so you need to also be clear about communicating what changes you're making and how. And so those are all kinds of things I'm thinking about with respect to how do I want to build this going forward? And what do I want my life to look like this year differently from the year before and how things went? So yeah, that's kind of where I am at the moment on that.
So I think part of this conversation about intentional growth and planning for growth is also to what degree do your business expenses change?
Yeah.
As you add new services and options. And also, I think just as you professionalize your business, like you may have mm-hmm. kind of limped along with something and then you realize like, okay, now's the time to like up my game with video conferencing or, you know, like yeah. I need to have something that looks a little more professional. How is that, you know, are you thinking along those lines with, is there anything in particular that you're thinking of adding mm-hmm. that you're like, oh, I'm going to need a webinar platform now, or I'm going to have to be thinking about this. Like, what are some of those business expenses that you think might come along with this idea of planning for growth for you?
Yeah, I think there are some sort of natural ones. Like you mentioned a web conferencing platform. That's one I've been thinking about a little bit. The other is, I know you use Teachery, but either that or a similar online learning platform where I can easily offer my own kind of modules and that sort of thing. You know, Katie, it's basically applying a lot of the stuff that you and I have talked about a lot previously and that I think you do very well, which is repurposing things that you have in an interesting way or creating things for particular types of audiences or learners. And really talking about that and being open about here's this new thing that I'm offering, and building it in a way that it's a really positive experience for people who, you know, who purchase it. And so I've learned a lot from you, obviously, in having all of these conversations. And so I'm thinking about how to apply that in ways that make sense for the audience I'm working with. The kind of perennial challenge, I think, that I face is that the audience that I traditionally kind of work with, especially within the speaking world, they tend not to be online as much, but that is beginning to kind of seep into the culture more. So being kind of the first or one of the first to that world will be advantageous to me. And I've already seen some of that. My willingness to kind of take a risk and do this webinar thing that I was just talking about, you know, I think that was the first time they'd ever done that mm-hmm. and it worked really well. And so being able to say that I've done that before and it's, you know, it works really well and here's what this looks like. And now I know how to present that way. That kind of offers me an edge on that market. And so I'm interested in kind of exploring that a little bit and seeing what that looks like. But I think some of the business expenses are some of those things that you're talking about. You know, do I need a Zoom account? Do I need, you know, something like a Teachery or another online learning platform to really make this the best user experience possible? Because that's kind of the focus at this point.
Okay.
What about you? How about your business expenses? What are your...
Oh, my business expenses. Well, as I've talked about before on this show, and definitely with you, I feel some flexibility with my business expenses because I have more, like, I'm not paying my mortgage with my business mm-hmm. money. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can invest in certain things. And I have done that from the very beginning. So whereas other people, I think, kind of limp along, I've just been like, what do I need? I'm buying it. Like, right. I haven't really been overly concerned about mm-hmm. that. And that's been actually really nice. And I know mm-hmm. not something that everyone can do. However, I think what it's allowed me to do is to really better understand what I need and what I don't. Because I have access to a lot of things and I may not need all of it. Mm-hmm. So that's been useful. Also, I mean, I can still say one of the best investments I ever made in my business was Jason Zook and Caroline Zook's Buy Our Future, which has mm-hmm. allowed me to have software platforms that I no longer pay for. It was a one-time payment. And they now offer this through their community Wandering Aimfully, which we can link to in the show notes. But that has allowed me to basically have a course platform that mm-hmm. I don't pay like a monthly fee for. And mm-hmm. I build everything in there. My writing groups, the prolific resource library, my mm-hmm. courses, you know, there's so many things. The webinars that I do are replays are hosted in there. So that's been a really helpful tool to have. But this year, like I invested in Zoom mm-hmm. for my coaching in particular, and I've been using it for my writing groups, which has been great because I can record sessions really easily. I have thought about transitioning my webinars over to Zoom or over to a different platform. I currently use two webinar platforms depending on who the webinars are for, because I have some different audiences that I do those for. So it's allowed me to kind of test out some stuff. And I will say too, and I invested in Mighty Networks this year, which is the platform I'm using for Prolific. I now really think about when I'm adding a business expense, what revenue will come in that will help pay for it. Mm-hmm. So I use a second webinar platform, but it's for hosted webinars that I'm being paid to do. So mm-hmm. That's coming out of, you know, that revenue is paying for that. That revenue also pays for the transcripts for those webinars, you know, like that kind of thing. So I try mm-hmm. to think carefully about that. And what are the things I need to cover on mm-hmm. kind of a monthly basis. When I first started my business, I probably had about $250 of recurring mm-hmm. Business expenses. It's significantly more than that now on a monthly basis. It kind of depends on if I'm booking travel for mm-hmm. speaking. That can be a significant business expense that gets reimbursed, but I'm still mm-hmm. paying for it upfront. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I keep in mind with the speaking and just what I keep in my bank account, basically, for my business expenses. But, I mean, if I look over on my whiteboard, I have a list of all the technologies and tools I'm using right now, some of which are free, like Google Drive or something like that. But there's easily 30 things that are mm-hmm. contributing to my business right now. Whether that's, you know, Stripe to process payments or mm-hmm. FreshBooks as my accounting system, Zoom for my mm-hmm. meetings. I mean, WordPress, which I use for client websites. I mean, like there's just a million things that, mm-hmm. that go into running the business and making it function. So I did set the goal this year though of 20% of my revenue is going to mm-hmm. be business expenses. And I don't want it to go higher than that. If it goes higher than that, it's honestly not that big of a deal, which is part of the problem, I think, of like, right. well, whatever. You know, like,
yeah, it's a big deal.
It'll be what it'll be. Like, I just, I'm not being strict with myself at this point, and mm-hmm. that's a huge privilege, and I mm-hmm. acknowledge that openly, that part of what works right now for my business is that I'm not having to be mm-hmm. so tight on the purse strings. Mm-hmm. And yet we're still able to have a good amount of salary, you know, that comes out of it. And that's been a nice kind of boost for me and my yeah. partner. So yeah, I mean, at some point I'm going to have to kind of like
buckle down a little,
buckle down. Well, and not to say, I don't want people to think I'm like willy nilly, like throwing cash around, because right, I'm not, right. But I will say that like, I'm not in the place where it's a difficult decision to like bump up to the next, like there's a free version of Mighty Networks, for example, and mm-hmm. I didn't choose it. There's mm-hmm. one level up from that. I didn't choose that either. Like mm-hmm. I chose the highest level because yeah. I needed it and it had analytics and that's what I wanted. And like, it's an investment. Like I see mm-hmm. these things as investments in my business. And because I am having regular revenue come in,
Right.
And I'm not going into debt to, mm-hmm. you know, have these business expenses. It would be an mm-hmm. entirely different situation if I was right. not making enough revenue to cover this. Mm-hmm. But I am. And I right. can cover this, and I can cover my business taxes, and I can cover salary. So I feel comfortable with where mm-hmm. it is right now. I would like to kind of experiment with that 20% this year to see. Mm-hmm. And if my revenue goes up, then obviously what I can spend on business expenses will go up as right. well right. to kind of match that. But I don't know. I'm actually kind of curious to our listeners, is 20% low? Is it high? Like, I mean, yeah, I just I have know. No sense of that. You know, like,
I have no idea.
I roughly this year, I think it's been more like 25%, which is why I was mm-hmm. like, oh, let's see if we can bring this down a little bit. But that included things like my coaching training, which is not a recurring, you know, mm-hmm. expense. Like, there's just stuff that we've been paying for that we're not going to have to pay for in the future. Mm-hmm. So I will say that my philosophy around this did come from Profit First, mm-hmm. which is a book that we can link to in the show notes that is really about making sure you're paying yourself a salary and thinking right. about your business in terms of ratios, which was helpful for me mm-hmm. when I was first starting out. And I just really had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, still feel like I don't really know. what I'm doing, and I'm really glad I have an accountant and you know uh-huh, professionals exactly. who are helping me to pay taxes and whatever
who do the really hard stuff figuring right. all of this out but
right I kind of just yeah. say tell me what I need to put aside and they do and then I do mm-hmm. I mean right. I and we That's actually great. Yeah I mean and I would say you know the first priority for our business is paying taxes and making mm-hmm. sure we have enough for that and then the second priority is business expenses and then expenses salary and kind that. Of comes yep. after that so yep. Yeah. But yeah. I would love to have, you know, critical questions from our audience about like, what are you doing and why are you doing it that way and what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I think you and we have different approaches to business expenses. So my approach is much more, do I absolutely need the one with the bells and whistles to do what I'm trying to do now? And not that I'm against paying for more. So, you know, social media is a good example of this, that for a while I was paying for Edgar, and then when Twitter went and changed all of its rules about, you know, recycling posts, I decided that because Edgar was so expensive, and that had been the primary reason I had purchased it, or purchased a subscription, was for the recycling purpose. And since that wasn't going to be an offering anymore, at least in the same way, I decided to jump over to Buffer, which was a much more affordable option at the time, because I didn't need the other things that Edgar could offer in order to get the basic job done. So, you know, I think being willing to, when things shift and when things happen, look at it and say, okay, am I really using this in the same way? Is it something that I need, you know, the full package for, or is it something that I can get by for a while until I start making, you know, more money on this thing that I'm, you know, doing it with or doing it for? You know, then I can maybe make the jump, but until then, can I get by with what this is or this cost or this fee, and kind of keeping those costs low as much as possible, has been my focus, maybe to a fault, right? Like you're saying, maybe I spend too much. I'm like, maybe I spend too little, because you do have to spend money to make money. That's right. a real thing.
Yeah.
And so figuring out that balance and having a good idea of how much money am I going to make on this thing that I'm trying to do with this platform or software or, you know, subscription or whatever it is. And is it a necessary expense or is it an expense that I can minimize in some way? Is it something that I don't have to have right now, but can work toward in the future and have it on the priority list of like, oh, if I when I, you know, make more money, here's a thing I'd like to, you know, up my subscription on or right. whatever it is.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, there are a couple ways to think about that. You know, like mm-hmm. one is, when I was calculating what to do with Mighty Networks, for example, I said, how many people will I have to have subscribe per month to cover this?
Mm-hmm.
The answer was one.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think I can deal with that.
I think I can handle it.
Yeah, I think I can maybe get one person to subscribe to this community. And if not, mm-hmm. then I'll revisit.
You're right. If not, then that's a different problem.
Right. But yeah. I also think, and this is something that I want to be really clear on, because I'm sure there are people like yelling at their, you know, podcast, whatever they're listening to us on right now. Whatever you, like, after you cover your taxes
mm-hmm.
and after you cover whatever you decide to put in your business savings, if you have business savings, which I happen to have in addition to a tax account, and then you have your expenses, basically whatever's left mm-hmm. is your salary. Mm-hmm. So everything that you're putting toward your expenses that is a waste
yeah.
could be going in your pocket. to buy whatever it is you want to buy with your your money. So that's the other thing that I want to be pretty clear. Like, I'm aware of that. And I want, you know, like, I agree with you, Sarah, like, it takes money to make money. Like, I think that it's very important to me that people who work with me have a good experience and that they don't feel like my business in whatever way is kind of unprofessional because I am not, you know, putting it on platforms that look professional or whatever. And that's something I've been very conscious of, is kind of the optics of running a business by yourself. You know, like, I don't have staff. People are working directly with me. I want them to have a good experience. But also, like, everything I put to our business expenses is money that's not going into my own pocket. So I think that that's something else to consider when you're making these decisions, is you can cut corners without cutting quality if that's something that's important to you. At this stage, I still feel like I'm in a place where I am still actively experimenting, particularly with platforms and how I'm working with clients. So just want to put that out there for people who are like, oh my God, you could be putting this money in your pocket. I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. And that's why I'm, you know, working on that, you know, to see if I can basically up my salary revenue from 25% to 30%. That's kind of the goal this year. But anyway, so I think that's an important thing to keep in mind as well.
Agreed. Agreed. So what else about growth? Anything else you've got thinking about in terms of the new year and new ways of intentionally expanding your work?
Well, I am really looking forward to a new book that's coming out in January called Company of One by Paul Jarvis, which I think we have mentioned on the show before. And he actually has a podcast out right now that's kind of helping to promote the book, also called Company of One. And I just really appreciate this idea of growth is what it means to you. Like, you do not have to be emulating what other people are doing or what their growth looks like if that is not functioning for you in whatever way. Like, if it's too much time, if it's, you know, not working on your own terms. I mean, we're so big on what does this mean to do this on your own terms with this show and with our businesses. I mean, that is something I hope comes out and that people understand that we are really making intentional choices for ourselves and our families. I'm really looking forward to reading that book, and maybe it's one that we'll review on the show at some point, because I think that one of the things Paul really emphasizes is there's a lot of pressure to kind of grow and scale. And even people who constantly ask me, when are you going to quit your job and like go into your business full time? And it's like, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not the purpose here. Like, there's just a lot of, ideas of what these businesses should look like. And I hope we're kind of emphasizing in this episode that you get to make those decisions and it doesn't matter what anyone else around you is doing if it works for you. So, I mean, I think it's intentional growth, but it's also really personalized.
Yeah. Right. And it doesn't always have to be growth too. You know, Katie, you're kind of talking about your growth being sustaining and kind of putting your eggs in the baskets that you've already woven. Just stretching the metaphor, just taking it there.
I like that.
But you know, it doesn't have to mean growth either. You know, in some ways my revenue goals for the year are going to be pretty modest because I'm looking at the landscape of both where my business is and where I think it could go. And then also the landscape of my real life that I live in every day. And, you know, what am I expecting there? Or what am I anticipating there? And that all plays a role. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in the like, oh, I want to be so productive and do all of these things and grow all of the stuff that then we set ourselves up for failure. And so I would just, you know, echo what you're saying, Katie, that it's on your own terms and it's doing it your own way. But also to encourage you to be real about your time and about your commitments, and whether that's your work commitments or if you have a side business, your side business commitments and time, but also your personal life, your family, your health, your well-being, like all of those things play a role here, and all of them are intertwined and in making your work what it can be and what it needs to be. And so, you know, if working 80 hours a week is going to hurt your health, then maybe reevaluate that a little bit, because it will eventually also hurt your work, right? There are people who can do that. I don't understand it. It's never a life that I want, but I know people who do that. But, you know, being real with yourself about what it is that you want, is, you know, if you want to pour yourself into your business, awesome, go for it. If you want to, you know, be able to have a glass of wine with friends or go out to a brewery, then build your life that way. That it's entirely up to you. And yeah, like you said, Katie, don't feel too pressured by what other people are doing. It can be really easy in this, you know, especially social media world, to look at all the things everybody else is doing and feel inadequate. I run into that frequently.
Mm-hmm. We all do. How can you not?
We all do. Everywhere. Exactly. But to just encourage you to push against that a little bit and be okay with where you are and forgiving about that, and also realistic about the goals that you can and should be making for your business and yourself.
Well, and I think, Sarah, you're such a good model of balance of how to do this, you know, with all these other areas of things in your life.
Sorry.
You're doing a good job.
I appreciate yeah. that. It doesn't always feel that way.
You're doing a good job. No. And I think that in the same way that when we talk about, like, quote unquote, work-life balance, and yeah. people will say, don't think about it as a daily thing. Think about it as like a weekly thing or a monthly thing. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you doing on a larger scale? I think the same applies for growth with business. Like, you could mm-hmm. literally, I could change none of my numbers this year. I could just say I want to do exactly what I did last year, and it would still be growth because I'd be working yeah. with more and different people. Like, if all I did for the rest of my career was speak at 7 schools a year, some mm-hmm. of those schools would be different and new schools to me. And that would allow my business to grow. It would allow my reputation to be stronger, you know, across certain areas. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the other thing that, you know, like, you can literally stay the same and it still represents growth over a longer period of time. Same mm-hmm. with, you can still do the exact same speaking, but with different topics, and that still represents yep. growth. So I think that there's kind of a long term way of thinking about it, which you brought up at yep. the very beginning of this episode, which is like, you don't have to go big or go home every year
yep.
or every quarter or whatever. Like, I mean, it's that slow and steady is going to happen almost without yeah. you doing anything. If you just kind of be consistent with what you're putting out yeah. there. And that's how I've always felt too about content creation is, there's going to be at least 52 new blog posts every year because I'm putting them out every mm-hmm. week. You know, like, that's growth. So that kind of thing, I think, is another, small things add up over time. That is another form of growth for your business as well.
Yeah. And trusting that process, because sometimes when you're in a bit of a lull or in a period where you're not seeing a lot of return on that investment of time and energy, it can be really easy to be like, oh, does any of it even matter? But do trust the process, because there, you know, I've been in those lulls and I'm in a bit of one right now, even where I'm not seeing a lot of new stuff coming in. But I had an inquiry the other day where, you know, a person reached out and said, oh, I love your videos and I love the stuff. So the stuff that I made years ago is still paying off,
it's still
right?
circulating.
And it's still paying dividends, still circulating, still important to people. So don't feel like just because you didn't have a good week of producing a new thing or whatever, that the stuff that you made before doesn't still matter and isn't still going to, you know, help you continue to grow and continue to build in the future.
Well, that's a good way to end.
Yay.
Nice wrap up.
Yay, the future.
Nicely done. All right. Well, thanks to our listeners for checking in with this episode of Make Your Way. We hope you're enjoying season 4, and we will be back next week with another episode.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, Katie.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Make Your Way. Show notes and a transcript for this episode can be found at katielinder.work/podcasts. Make Your Way is part of the Radical Self-Trust podcast channel, a collection of content dedicated to helping you seek self-knowledge, nurture your superpowers, playfully experiment, live your core values with intention, practice loving kindness toward yourself and others, and settle into your life's purpose. Learn more about the RST channel at katielinder.work/podcasts. If you found this episode helpful, please also consider rating and/or reviewing the show in iTunes. Thanks for listening.